Verdad, representante de la OIT.
Muchas gracias. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, distinguished delegates. It's really an honor to be here addressing you all. I'm speaking on behalf of the International Labour Organization, which is a specialized UN agency. It has a tripartite executive body representing 187 member states, as well as workers' unions and workers' organizations and employers' organizations. Now, the ILO was established in 1919, and for more than 100 years, the ILO has been trying to combat hazardous exposures for workers globally, and especially hazardous exposures to chemicals. Now, despite the progress that has been made in more than 100 years, the reality is stark. We know that every year, more than 1 million workers lose their lives due to hazardous exposures to chemicals, including chemicals that are found in the full life cycle of plastics. Now, workers lose their lives from things like industrial accidents, fires, explosions in plants and different facilities, but more than 80% lose their lives due to things like chronic diseases, debilitating diseases, cancers, respiratory and circulatory diseases, neurological conditions. These are things that workers all around the world in every stage of the life cycle have to suffer from. Now, when it comes to different life cycle stages, we know that in extraction, we have evidence that workers are exposed to things like benzene, volatile organic compounds, which cause leukemia and respiratory disorders, among others. In production and processing and during the molding and shaping of plastics, workers are exposed to volatilized stearine, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, persistent organic pollutants. These contribute to developmental and reproductive disorders. And this is not even to mention the millions of workers that work in waste picking and recycling, who handle plastic waste without proper protections. They're exposed to dioxins, to furans, to heavy metals, during sorting, during burning, leading to many types of health impacts and mortality. Now, if we consider the multitude of workers globally that are working at every stage in the plastics life cycle, we can quickly realize that this 1 million figure that I gave you earlier is likely an underreporting number. It's likely an underrepresentation of the real impact. Now, the fear of many occupational hygienists is that we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg when it comes to chronic diseases due to the hazardous chemicals that are found in plastics. And we have to ask ourselves, what is the reality of these global workers? There's a few important things to highlight. This sector, where plastic is produced and where it's recycled, is highly informal. We know that we have more than 20 million informal workers in waste picking all around the world. These are waste pickers that not only don't have access to occupational safety and health, they don't have access to healthcare or social protection. Now, we know also that workers do not work in a bubble. They're not only exposed to one chemical, they're not only exposed to a few chemicals. They're exposed to a cocktail of hazards. These are chemical exposures, these are biological exposures, exposures to heat stress due to our changing climate, exposure to violence and harassment in the workplace. There's a need to take into consideration all of these exposures for workers that are working along the plastics life cycle. And very importantly, there's a lot of interlinkages between the place of work and where workers live. In many cases, informal workers live where they work where they live. They're facing double exposures to many of these hazards that originate from plastics. And we have very gender-specific exposures. We know that female workers are at greater risk. Some studies have shown a five-fold increase for female workers in the plastics industry just for working in this specific sector. Now, the reality is stark, but we do have some tools to respond. The ILO is a standard-setting agency. We have more than 40 legally binding conventions that relate specifically to safety and health. Key among them are the Chemicals Convention number 170 that provide a framework on how governments and employers can provide a national policy and workplace policies for practical actions to protect workers, things like risk assessment, following the hierarchy of controls, and making sure that workers do not fall ill from their occupation. Now, I want to reference that in 2022, the ILO had a major paradigm shift where we included the right to a safe and healthy working environment within the framework for principles and rights at work. So this designates two fundamental OSH conventions as being mandatory for member states to implement regardless of their ratification status. This is Convention 155 and Convention 187. And this elevates workers' rights to protection from chemical hazards to a universal standard. And to outline some of these rights, we already mentioned the right to a safe and healthy working environment. But in these conventions, we also embed the right to know. Workers have the right to know about the hazards that they're exposed to, the right to know about the hazards that they're working with, and the right to know about the potential impact of these hazards. This is information about the identity of chemicals used in plastics in the workplace, the hazardous properties of these chemicals and plastics, and the appropriate precautionary measures to ensure safety. This also includes the right to labels and markings on the chemicals that provide the critical hazard information to ensure that they have chemical safety data sheets, which contain detailed descriptions of the chemical's properties, their safe handling procedures, and emergency response guidance. Now, this also comes with the right to education and training. Workers have the right to comprehensive knowledge on the hazards, the use of personal protective equipment, and all of training needs to be done in an appropriate language and during working time. Now, finally, workers also have the right to remove themselves. Workers have the right to remove themselves from a dangerous situation in the workplace without fear of undue consequences and without facing retaliation for prioritizing their safety. Now, in addition to these basic rights for safety and health, there's also a number of enabling rights, the right to collective bargaining, the right to the freedom of association, because workers need to have the ability to collectively discuss and negotiate the terms of their safety and of their health in the workplace. And these aren't about privileges, these are about basic rights that must be upheld. No worker should ever have to choose between their livelihood and between their life. Now, in addition to these basic safety and health principles, the ILO also actively promotes the right to a just transition for all workers, both in the formal and the informal sector, including for marginalized groups and for vulnerable populations, including Indigenous persons. So a just transition in addressing plastic pollution entails the creation of decent work opportunities for all workers and for, during all phases of sourcing, production, and disposal. The ILO reminds that a just transition is not only about environmental outcomes, it is about preserving human dignity through their access to decent work. So in closing, when we view workers' rights through the lens of human rights, it becomes clear that ensuring the well-being of workers is not only a luxury, but a fundamental requirement for building just, inclusive, and sustainable societies. And while hazardous chemicals in plastics exposures and in plastics pollution is clearly an environmental issue, it is also a labor issue. Upholding the right to a safe and healthy working environment and the right to a just transition is essential to protecting the lives of millions of individuals around the world. Thank you very much for your attention.